How you doing today, Mr. Jones?
Well, I'm excited about what we're doing this weekend. I'm excited about taking this team to New Orleans. I have had a lifetime of having some of my greatest memories in and around New Orleans, Louisiana. A lot of the people that are listening may not know that one of the biggest controversies early on and that I was involved in with the Cowboys is the Shreveport market is so much Cowboy market that there was a huge debate on the CBS affiliate, I don't think it was the Fox affiliate, as to which game that would be on the local television there in Shreveport, whether it be the Saints game or the Cowboys game. And that's North Louisiana, of course. And so it's always made it exciting. I've got a lot of great friends in Louisiana. So for me, going to New Orleans and playing a game of this substance is an outstanding weekend. It, to me, is what I got in it for.
Jerry, are you guys going to have Amari Cooper at full power in this one?
Yes, yes. I feel very good about that. Now, I know that, and you should be reluctant to say, man, Jerry, doesn't only God know that? And he does. But as far as anything we're seeing relative to his condition, his ability to push off, his ability to do anything, I think we're in good shape. We're as we are on all of our players now. We're where we've got any sensitivities at all, any strains, anything like that. Well, we're smart about that during our practice week and have it ready to go on Sunday. That's when it counts.
You know, and keep in mind, Jerry, whenever someone says the man upstairs, we always think they're talking about you before we realize it's something spiritual. But I'm curious about...
There's a big difference now in terms of just reference. But I am a big believer, and so we all are. And so the bottom line is these matters of health, these matters, whether it be negotiation, where are you on the negotiation, how it's going, the only one really knows what the outcome is going to be at that point, usually, is a higher power.
Well, since we can't get God on the line, we do love talking to you instead. But I do want to see what you think about your team within the context of the rest of the NFC. I'm sure you watched that game last night, and those are two really good teams slugging it out. So we're not even a month into this thing, but how do you feel like you guys stack up with the rest of the conference?
Well, first of all, I was real impressed with Philadelphia because I have such a respect for the Green Bay defense this season. And so that was a big win for Green Bay, for Philadelphia, and one that obviously we wanted to go the other way. And it really doesn't change what we're faced with. Philadelphia's got outstanding personnel. They've well coached. They've tasted and been at the top, and they're formidable. And any time that we can get them to get a little chink in their armor as this thing goes, this season goes, we want to have it happen. And that was a big win for them, big win, just as it was a big win for New Orleans and Seattle the other day. And so these teams that we're talking about, New Orleans this weekend, of Philadelphia twice in the future, that'll sober you up real quick about what we're faced with this year as a team.
So, Jerry, we were reading that I think it was Adam Schefter who was saying that both you and Roger Goodell were the guys at the forefront of trying to convince the league that, hey, a 17-game schedule it might be the way to go. What could you tell us about if that's accurate, and then what could you tell us about why a 17-game proposal makes a lot of sense?
Well, first of all, it is an item of negotiation, and we are involved in negotiation with the players' union, and I've been going to Chicago. I think I've mentioned this to you guys before, but I've been going to Chicago beginning, gosh, it seems like it was back in the spring. But I've been averaging once or twice, once a week or once every 2 weeks. I've been going up there for 6 months negotiating this. And we certainly have a lot of work to do. But as a part of it and as a part of looking at the preseason, we're looking at it in its whole as we would, and I do believe that one way that makes a lot of sense today, since players really are in shape year-round, it makes a lot of sense to have additional regular games, maybe additional playoff game, and so that's what you're reading there is in context with that. I couldn't comment on it because, again, I don't have any idea where the players are on this matter. I do have an idea, but I don't want to get into that. But it is a solution that I am for, and that is to have the additional game, and then we'll work the detail out as we work it out.
Do you think, Jerry, there's any particular part of, you know, you guys negotiating with the players that would be the biggest challenge or the biggest obstacle that you guys got to come to terms on? What would be the thing that is most pressing with the new negotiations?
Oh, I think safety is paramount. I think that's in everybody's interest and certainly does the right thing for our fans to have availability. I've always said ability, when you think of a athlete or a football player, is the first thing that comes to your mind, but availability is probably as important. Well, that's another way of looking at safety, and we obviously are working, continue to work to keep our game more safe as technology allows us to do it and knowledge allows us to do it. But safety, and then the economics. And at the end of the day, those are the things that would go into making a decision about additional games, less preseason games, those kinds of things.
Jerry, the halftime show for the Super Bowl has announced J-Lo and Shakira. Which one of those two is most likely to get you out on the dance floor?
Ooh, great question.
Well, J-Lo is a personal friend, and I'm proud to say that. And A-Rod and J-Lo sat with us out in Los Angeles when we played the Rams, actually sat and watched the game with us. And I admire both of them, A-Rod as well as J-Lo, but we're talking about J-Lo here, and there's no person, period, man or woman, that I admire any more than her. She is as hard a working as I've been around, and she has done nothing but, as she's evolved, gotten better and better and better. And as great an entertainer as she is, she's that much better as a person. And she really is the complete package, the real deal. You know, I put her, when I think of J-Lo, I think of Jay-Z. Jay-Z is really an outstanding, genuine person to sit down and talk to. And you feel like you've known both of them all your life, feel like they could be your brother or sister. And in terms of how good it feels just to have conversation with them. And we're not talking about the entertainment aspect of them now. We're talking about how they are individually. And there's no wonder they've been success. And they both work like dogs.
Yeah, I love you bringing up Jay-Z. On this show, we're big fans of that man and what he's built. And so, you know, you dealt with him a little bit during the Dez negotiations, and now he's a bigger part of the NFL. How did that whole Jay-Z thing coming together with the NFL really, really happen? And what is it that he's doing with you guys?
Well, I think what needs to be really pointed out is that he's got, not only is he talented, but he's connected. And then he's got a way of of being the coach of his work ethic. And he's big. He said to me, I've never been late. I've always been early, but I've never been late for an appointment in my life. And that's pretty good for a guy that a lot of his street, a lot of his appointments were on the street corner.
No doubt.
And so the point is that he's got that kind of discipline, or he's got that kind of just what I would say business courtesy. And that's impressive. And those kinds of things. It's impressive that he thinks that it's an important part of success. And just the obvious, but it's the obvious. It's not the small thing, but it's the actual physical being there, being alert, being on your game, being well dressed, being ready to go. All of those things are the things that I had my mother and daddy tell me about, and had my coaches tell me about, not just football coaches, but life coaches. Well, come to find out, you look at some of the people that have attained success, and those are still the big things to them.
Well, you mentioned life coach. One of the reasons we love having you on the show, and we wish we could do an hour every time we had you, but we know you're a busy man, is getting insight into just life and your thoughts and philosophies on things. And so I want to step away from football and ask you about taking on risk in business. When we're younger and we don't have kiddos and we don't have mouths to feed and mortgages, it's easier to take big risks. What would you say to our listeners out there, anybody listening who's thinking of taking on business venture risks but also has that responsibility to the family? When do you know the right time to roll the dice and go for something?
Well, I think that if I were going to expose my base, my economic base, to a element of things that are out of your control, the economy, nature of your product or service that you're trying to, the volatility of it in the marketplace, I would not do it unless I were putting all my time, that I were committing my own sweat to it. Sweat will let you overcome things that aren't in your control, and you can just outwork it. Or you can stay later. You can will it. And to me, if you're going to go and expose your family to anything inordinate, make sure you didn't do it with I'm going to do this part-time. You've got to be ready. If you will figure out a way to overcome, if that's what you're getting to do when you get up, when you go to bed, and think about during the night. And so I think that kind of, you can call it commitment. You can call it anything you want to go, but I'm a big believer that the fact that you've got some exposure to your family or to the people that you love the most, that alone will help you overcome. You will just not get off of it until you've come up with the solution. So, this sounds like rah-rah, sounds like some kind of motivational tape, but it isn't. The ones that I've seen, I think I've said this on the show, but this guy had all these restaurants, had about 400 of them, 24-hour-a-day restaurants, and he was very young. He was about 35 years old, and I was asking him, where do you find all those chefs? How in the world? I didn't know that many people could cook. And I was younger, and I was hanging on every word. And he said, if you just think of the hundreds of, quote, chefs, cooks. And he said, well, I don't find that many that can cook. They really all can't. But he said, if it's supposed to be hot, I tell them burn the roof of their mouth with it. If it's supposed to be cold, make it like it's hot ice going in their mouth. Intensity covers up a lot of the frailties of the way it tastes. And the quality of the food, intensity, heat. And he said, by the way, that's something that goes whether you're cooking or other parts of your life. Heat covers up a lot of your frailties.
Wow, that's great. Jerry, so speaking of intensity, we know it's Jerry Jr.'s 50th birthday this weekend, and you guys are in a party city with New Orleans. So what is the intensity of the birthday celebration for Jerry Jr. going to be like this weekend?
Well, first of all, I can't tell you how proud I am that when somebody refers to him or he opens his mouth, he says, "I'm Jerry Jones." I've been asked, why was your second son your junior as opposed to your first? My daddy used to, I asked him why I wasn't a junior, and he said because all of the guys that had the named after their dad, they ended up with the nickname Junior, and I just didn't want you to be called Junior. Well, as it turns out, my father, who was not but 5'6", but strong, really strong, and very, very, if you will, driven. And he was so well thought of in his the way he approached life and the way he it was a business that even after I was a Razorback in Arkansas and after I'd quit playing and I had was recognized that way, if it were any in an area that knew my dad, I was known as Little Pat, not Jerry Jones, Little Pat. And to this day, if I run into somebody of my dad's vintage, and there are a few remaining, they call me Little Pat. So that's how strong it was, and I was proud of it, too.
And that's
awesome. So while Jerry still had to suffer this little Jerry business, that'll make you want to show them that you're not little, that you can do something on your own. And so it was an inspiration for me. But I'm just, first of all, I'm proud that he's my son. He's it's been rough. He's the one that's most like me. And so I think I've got him figured before he even turns his eyes toward me. I'm telling you, you guys know how that is. I have a dad that thinks that. I remember reading a father's prayer one time, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it basically said, don't let me be a bully because I can be. And the reason is he loves me and will let me get away with it. So, God, don't let me be a bully. And so I do would like to say on his 50th birthday, I hope I haven't pushed you around too much.
No, that's awesome. And hey, we're so grateful for your time, and we know that your dad's looking down on you, super proud. What do you think your dad would make of all this that's going on with old Jerry Jones, oh, little Pat?
Just grinning like the proverbial Cheshire cat. And he's smiling from ear to ear. He loves it. Some of the stuff that comes my way, he can't quit chuckling about it, I'm sure. He was pretty aggressive and controversial. I know that he had two large stores that were called supermarkets in the grocery business. And they had a blue law in central Arkansas, and so you couldn't open on Sunday under the blue law. The only way you could open on Sunday is if you owned a business and your religion had you being religious on Saturday. And then Sunday was not your religious holiday, so you could open that business. So my father joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church and closed his doors on Saturday and opened them on Sunday. And that got quite a lot of attention at the time, but it looked like the Super Bowl out there at these stores on Sunday. Of course, right in the middle of that store was a big bandstand. Now, this was the 50s. And in that on that bandstand, he'd have amateur talent shows. And he had a live radio broadcast coming out of the middle of that store. And people were sitting there buying groceries and doing everything you do in a store, but right in the middle of it was a big hoedown going on and some 16-year-old singing like he was Elvis Presley. That'd be going on while you're buying your groceries. It was great. We lived above the store, and we loved it.
Well, Mr. Jones, we apologize to you for holding you long. Please apologize to your staff on our behalf, but we can't get enough of visiting with you. Thank you so much for taking the time today, and happy birthday to Jerry Jr. You guys, good luck to you in New Orleans.
Thank you, guys. Good to be on.